Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, welcome inside Hour 2, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yo!
And right now, the Andre Drummond debut has taken over. It's the biggest story in the entire world. It's bigger than the story of the mama bear that had trouble bringing her bears across the street. That has taken over virally yesterday. The Andre Drummond Lakers debut. The Lakers lead the Bucks right now, 44-43. We are about 4 minutes to go before halftime. Giannis just 4 points so far tonight for the Bucks. Meanwhile, the Lakers, who of course still play without LeBron James, without Anthony Davis, they got 11 points from Kyle Kuzma. Welcome to the game, Kyle Kuzma. And Andre Drummond, who is here to save the Lakers, 4 points and a couple of assists and a rebound in 9 minutes of action. He started for the Lakers, came out. He's only played a couple of minutes here so far in the second quarter.
Well, you got to baby steps, right? Get integrated, start finding your spots. And as we all expected, here's Kyle Kuzma stepping up. Blonde Kyle Kuzma, they pointed that out last week, that he went back to blonde, like that was going to bolster his opportunities and his performance as it flows. But right now, I mean, both teams shooting about 48% from the field, 9 turnovers. Not exactly clean basketball. And Giannis has only taken 3 shots, playing 14 minutes. It's like, come on, man. I'm watching this game. Step it up.
Hey,
entertain me.
You're perpetrating a fraud on me because I'm watching this game for you to entertain me. You're an entertainer. I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue you, and I'm going to make a lot of money off of this.
My man, not to make light of lawsuits, but let's call it what it is. You can the old line that everybody, you can indict a ham sandwich, right? And certainly in the litigiousness here in the state of California, you can file lawsuits pretty much all over. I mean, lots of ads. Lots of opportunities for someone ready to take your case. So saying, hey, you ruined my Wednesday night by playing poorly. I'm sure you can file it. I don't know that it goes anywhere, but...
I always like Frostberg's idea. When the whole Spectrum Dodgers... fiasco was going on here in LA when no one could see the Dodgers for the longest time, right? Because the majority of LA couldn't see it, because if you didn't have Spectrum cable, you couldn't see it. And he would come in all the time and he would say, I'm going to sue. What are you going to sue for? He goes, I don't get to see Vin Scully. I'm suing for lost memories. And I'm like, ooh, wait, that sounds great. Can you sue for lost memories? I mean, I think that's something that would, I think, pull at the heartstrings of everybody. I'm going to sue you for lost memories. Oh, well, hang on a second. That sounds pretty serious. Maybe we should settle, get the Dodgers on TV for everybody to see.
No, that's a good thing. As soon as you start getting into lawsuits that make the front page of the LA Times and across the lands, because look, it's Los Angeles. Everybody's got a magnifying glass here. So those kind of things get huge. And you got to find, then you're also leaving money on the table. Everybody knows you're leaving money on the table. It's just a matter of, you know, when you finally decide to just recognize that the losses are you can't make that money back. I mean, that's extra billions of dollars over a short period of time that you're leaving on the table. So, we keep seeing media rights change, certainly nationally. We talked a lot about the NFL last week, but locally, those are always interesting games to watch play out, right? When teams move between radio stations or local TV or force announcers out that they don't like because they were critical of the team. Yeah. Things of those natures. I mean, there's a lot of it. It's good to watch it.
But when it comes to the Lakers, right, like, are they okay now with Andre Drummond being this way great overcovered story? Now, he's an important thing for the Lakers. How okay are they right now? Because we talked last hour a little bit that, you know what, look, they've proven they can beat the bottom feeder teams, which is going to keep them afloat in the standings in the Western Conference. But Denver got better. They're playing a lot better. They're right in the Lakers' heels. Portland got better at the deadline. It's going to be very difficult for the Lakers to continue on here and, you know, third and fourth place. Now here they are in fourth place now behind the Clippers. The Lakers are okay to the point where adding Andre Drummond, who's a 17-13 guy, and look, I don't give a crap about analytics and Drummond's going to throw this, you know, he throws a bunch of bad shots up in a row. You're 17-13. You are getting nothing from Marcus Gasol. He wasn't helping the offense. He wasn't moving the offense. The offense doesn't flow through him. You got a guy that's going to rebound the basketball really well. He's going to score 15 to 17 points, which is fantastic. He's going to buy in for a short amount of time, you know, 30, 40 games. Hey, he's got paid. Now he's got a chance to win. Eventually, when LeBron and AD come back, he's not going to have to carry the load, because that's one thing that has hindered him in the past is, hey, we're paying you to be an incredible player. You got to lead us. He hasn't quite been that guy. Can he do this for a little while? Yeah, adding Andre Drummond is actually really huge for the Lakers, but it's huge to the point where I feel very confident saying the Lakers can finish sixth in the West and avoid the first round one game play-in. You got to worry about beating a team with a 7-8-9-10 situation. I feel pretty confident that they can finish sixth, because even if Denver and Portland pass them, Dallas is, you know, they've been barely over 500 most of the season, right? It's not like they're suddenly going on runs. They're struggling being able to be consistent. The same thing with the San Antonio Spurs, and you're getting to now teams that are luckily to be at 500. So can I see the Lakers now saying, okay, the backsliding stops at six, and that's where they're going to be for the first round of the playoffs? Yeah. You know, before it was, hey, they could fall out of the playoffs, but in the last 10 days, they have figured things out. They make the big move for Andre Drummond. I am confident saying things are okay to the point where they will avoid that play-in and be seated sixth in the playoffs in the Western Conference.
I like that boldness. Like, well, it's not going to be that bad. They're going to win, you know, they're going to win just enough, you know, three or four games to not fall out altogether. The big key with Drummond, right? Two playoff appearances, both sweeps in the first round during his tenure here in the NBA. So he's one of those guys that the great question of, is he just, you know, a compiler on a bad team? I mean, 14.6 and 13.8, awful hard to say, you know, and categorize it and just push it aside. But, you know, we've had guys before that suddenly they get thrust into a different situation and maybe not ready for prime time. So long as he's just the third guy, I feel okay with it, and that's okay, assuming that, again, LeBron James and Anthony Davis get back and they're ready to go come playoff time. I mean, both, as we've speculated all along, and the time frames seem to match up, that it's like, yeah, we'll try to get them back for May 1st. That would give you 2 weeks to play, get off of Call of Duty and whatever else. LeBron was complaining that they weren't showing the score on his display earlier. I mean, it's next level stuff going on. That, you know, they'll have 2 weeks for a ramp up and then you get into the playoffs, and that's all fine and good. The schedule's still not your friend at any point. Like, so right now, Milwaukee playing as they are, and some of it you give the adrenaline and credit to the Lakers for what they're doing. The other is Milwaukee ever going to step up? I'd shift the narrative to them. How about you, Giannis, and the Milwaukee Bucks? Are you ever going to take that step forward and be more than a regular season team? And now you've got a wounded Laker team that you're just kind of, I don't know, give it a half effort on, would be the nice way to describe it as we go here deep into the second quarter. But, yeah, avoiding the play-in game, it's much different expectation than, hey, they're going to rule the West. Funny how things change fast in the NBA, huh?
hey, just if you don't like it, it's like the weather in Florida, right? Wait, it'll change in 5 minutes.
Here's that 3 o'clock storm.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. But listen, tomorrow is opening day in Major League Baseball. It's a really, really, I don't want to say it's going to be a day that it will be an opening day that lives forever, but it will be an opening day that all of us remember as we look to get back to normalcy in our lives, you know, coming out of COVID. Hey, we got baseball now. There's going to be fans in the stands. You know, we got into the Rangers situation last hour, having 100% of fans. But, you know, tomorrow, baseball, it's going to be another big day for all of us to celebrate and say, okay, we're continuing to do great things, and hopefully we're at a normal capacity, you know, sometime soon. Look, 1.5 million people are getting vaccinations a day. That's pretty good. When you think about there's 350 million people in the United States, we're doing pretty well. We're going to get there. So with tomorrow in hand, let's take a look and make some big, bold predictions for the 2021 Major League Baseball season. Are you ready, Mike Harmon?
Yeah, are we going to do a lot of MVP talk? Because that'll be great.
Yes.
No,
MVP World Series. No, this is bold prediction time. First bold prediction. You ready? First
right,
bold
yeah,
prediction.
Let's go.
If the Yankees are struggling by June 1st, Aaron Boone is fired. He has 2 months to make sure the Yankees are playing well because the AL East is bleeping loaded. I mean, not the Orioles, but the rest of the AL East.
They got some good young talent. If you were to put the rankings of the top five prospects for Rookie of the Year behind Andrew Vaughn of the White Sox, of course, I think you got three Orioles that get up in there.
Well, they're going to.
I mean, Mountcastle's going to be fun to watch, man.
They have 19 rookies on. It's 19 rookies and Matt Harvey. I think that's the Orioles.
Matt Harvey's the number two starter for crying out loud.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just to stop for a second, see what that tells you. Matt Harvey's the number two starter. The AL East is loaded.
Yeah,
and
no,
if the Yankees don't play well and they fall behind, they're going to say it's time to make a move. There is no manager with more pressure on him than Aaron Boone because the Yankees should be achieving more, right? This is the point where we've gotten past the fact where, okay, the Yankees had a few years. They have all the talent they need. They made big moves in the offseason. They got Cy Young winners there in the rotation. This should be their year. If they're struggling in the first 2 months and by June 1st they're under 500, or they're seven or eight games out of first place because somebody else has jumped out to a big lead, Aaron Boone's going to be the first manager that's let go in Major League Baseball. He's got the most pressure on him than any other skipper
in
the game.
Wow. No, well, I mean, look, can he duct tape guys back together and get them in the lineup? Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing in New York, right, is, hey, we got a lot of talent. Every one of those guys is either coming off surgery or is less than 2 years removed from a surgery or long extended trips to the disabled list. I'm sorry, injured list, because we updated the terminology, and have been unavailable. If you can tell me that Stanton and Judge are actually playing those first 2 months, I like my chances for Aaron Boone. Otherwise, hey, you know, roll the dice. I think they've played well enough. I mean, 2-100 win seasons, and then last year was just a mess. So I don't know that you full on get a mulligan, but I don't think he's necessarily out quite so fast.
Another big, bold prediction. You know who's going to struggle in a large way, but it's not going to matter. It just isn't going to matter because the team is that good. Pete Alonso. No, it's not going to matter because the team is that good. Trevor Bauer is going to struggle tremendously. 95% of his game is in his head. And he is now at a point where he's cashed in on all the, hey, I'm the fun guy. I'm a great pitcher. I'm a Cy Young winner. But I've been doing it kind of outside the big bullseye of Major League Baseball here. Now you signed, you made all that money. You're on the defending World Series champion. What kind of pitcher are you when this kind of pressure is on you? And when you do something on social media now, way more people care than they did when you were pitching for the Reds or the Indians. And this is a lot of pressure. You got the money. Now he's going to see what it's like being someone who is polarizing. Everybody always loved Trevor Bauer. Right? Look at him on social media. He's doing this. But then he does some things that make you go, ooh, I don't know that I would get into it with a young woman on social media. This stuff now gets multiplied by 1,000 because he's pitching for the Dodgers. This is going to make him struggle because he's that kind of guy. He's not, I can block everything out and go pitch. He's someone that everything affects him, and he's going to struggle. But here's the thing. It ain't going to matter because the Dodgers are so bleeping loaded. If he's a 500 pitcher, it's okay. He's 500. The other guys won't be. We'll figure out a way to. We got David Price in the bullpen. So he's going to struggle, but it's not going to matter for the Dodgers.
The $32 million closer. Let's go. I mean, that's how loaded they are. Hey, we're going to let the kids start. Okay. Dustin May, you're number five. Hey, David Price, you feel like being moving to the next phase of your career? I mean, that's what you talk about, living with riches. How about I give you one, Smith? Both Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo are no longer Cubs by the trade deadline.
Ooh, wow. Hey, Chris Bryant was almost an ex-Cub about a month ago, buddy.
No, that's just it. They haven't pulled the trigger yet, right? A guy that it seemed like the world, and you've talked a little bit of, you know, losing focus and losing that hunger, whatever else. As soon as you start doing that, I'd be looking to ship you out of town, that's for sure. And as for Anthony Rizzo, they lowballed him. And you know what? Good player, strong player, good community guy. All the great stories of what he has been, you can find other first basemen for a song. You don't need to pay him the money that is currently on the table. So they lowballed him. People got a little bit upset. It's like, all right, he's not putting up record-breaking numbers here. He's turning more into Mark Grace, which is a great player. Don't get me wrong, but not for the type of cheddar you got to pay out if you're looking to shore up other parts of your squad.
Mm. I tell you, the Forever Cubs are now no longer going to be.
Well, think about Cubs. It. It was supposed to be dynastic, right?
Yeah.
And it was a year.
Yeah. Not, you listen.
Hey, you got one though. So I mean, that's all you can ask. Listen,
hey, you haven't won in 100 years. I think. Can you take one and then you're good for? Oh yeah, I'm good. Just give me one right now.
But you saw how quickly things soured on Madden. I mean, Theo Epstein's now working for Major League Baseball. I mean, just what have you done for me lately? Was a very real thing. It's like, hey, what happened to all the kids and the longevity and this great dynastic run to come? Nah, they all had 1 year. And they're good players, just not all great. Everything clicked for that 1 year. That's the way baseball and all sports seem to go, folks. Dynasties are just as you would expect, very rare birds.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dough on the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. We got more big baseball bowl predictions coming up later on. Get in. Phone number is 877-99 on Fox. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train. Stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. Well, coming up next, two big-time teams in the NFL kept up today and said, hey, there's a reason why we spend so much money in free agency. Can we believe them? That should be a clue. Can we believe them? No. That's coming up next right here. Jason and Mike, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you can get your podcast.
Guy who's now going to be with you for a decade.
Yeah.
You hated him an hour ago.
No. Listen. I ride the lightning just like everybody else does. I ride the lightning. I'm like, how is it not good enough for him? Hey, Steve Cohen is a stone-cold contract killer. First of all, I love the fact we signed him. But I love the fact you heard Brian Fenley with the detail. $1 million more than Fernando Tatis Jr. We tell you he's better than Fernando Tatis, so you're going to give me more money. Yeah, how about $1 million more? We're already giving you $340 million. Okay, all right, that's good. So they give him $341 million, $1 million more than Fernando Tatis Jr., and Bobby Axelrod gets it done and makes Francisco Lindor a Met for the rest of his career. And, you know, look, this is why this is important. Because, you know, we talked to Casey Jacobson last night on the show and after UCLA won. And he said, look, what does UCLA have? What did they have Michigan didn't? And he said, UCLA's got an identity. They know exactly who they are, and they don't try to do anything that they can't do. And when you know who you are, you're able to achieve because you don't start trying things and trying to do things that are not in your wheelhouse. You concentrate on what you do well, and that makes the game simpler for you, and that's what UCLA is. Look, they're a four-guard offense, and you know they try to create offense, but they don't score a lot. The pacing's not great. They try to do what they can and make you play to their level of what they want to do. The Mets have needed an identity, right? Every great team has an identity. Who are the Mets? Hey, we got great players, and Jacob DeGrom's the best pitcher in baseball, but it's kind of hard to sell Jacob DeGrom. Now the Mets have a guy he's who they are. Francisco Lindor is the best shortstop in baseball, and he is someone who is fun. He is someone who has always been fun. Look, when he shows up to spring training wearing the Eddie Murphy Coming to America jacket, which I just made my Twitter avatar now because, you know, hey, Lindor.
See, sorry, now Bay. You love me, don't you?
Sorry, buddy Boeheim. You were there for a while, but I got to go to Lindor now. Now, this is who the Mets are. And, you know, like the Mets had David Wright, and David Wright was their captain, and this is who they are. And all the best teams have those guys. And if they're there for 5 years or 7 years or a decade, it doesn't matter. It helps you ground the franchise. It helps me make attractive to free agents. It helps it tell free agents, hey, it's okay to come here because here's a guy that could have gone anywhere in free agency. But no, for a team I haven't even played an inning of regular season baseball with, I'm going to stay here for the rest of my career, and I'm going to take $340 million. And so now the Mets become a big-time place where, hey, that's a destination because now I know who I'm playing with. I know what they do for their stars. And if it's okay for Francisco Lindor, it's okay for me. I can't tell you what it's like to have that franchise player. Just ask New England Patriots, right? They had Tom Brady for almost 20 years, and it was easy to get free agents to show up. Hey, you want to come play with Tom and go to Super Bowls? Yeah, but Brady's there. Of course I want to go there. How tough was it to get guys when Brady left? They had to overpay for every single free agent they had because we can't just sell you on come to the Patriots and win. There's a reason why in this offseason they spent more money than they have in the past 15 years in free agency because they got to overpay to get guys to show up because they don't have the drawing card.
Come on now. That's a terrible narrative.
What are you talking? That's exactly what
they spent a lot of money. That didn't mean they had to go over the top to convince guys to come.
They spent a lot of money.
We'll give you an extra 20% because we know you don't want to come here. Come on.
They overpaid.
They overpaid Nelson Aguilar. That's the only guy that you could point out and just say, what the hell was that?
They overpaid for Jonnu Smith. They overpaid for him. They overpaid for a lot of guys.
There's a lot of folks that wanted in on Jonnu Smith, and they had a lot of money to spend.
Then why did he sign that early? Why did he sign? Why?
Because he got excited. Because he wanted to go there.
Because he got excited. Oh, I get excited. Hey, but I got other teams coming in with more money. No, I'm excited. Let me sign with the Patriots. The Patriots overpaid for him. He signed right away. If there was a big bidding war for him, there would have been more money. He would have squeezed more money out of New England or somebody else. Look, it's not a bad thing to have to overpay. It just shows you when you don't have the drawing card, it makes it a little bit more difficult. Things are easier for you if you can say, hey, come here. Here's the guy. When there's free agents that show up in any sport, right? Look at it this way. When there's free agents that show up and teams are making their offseason plans, they go, okay, hey, we're hosting player X coming in this week. What are we going to do? You make sure you get your star player to show up and say, hey, let's spend some time together. I'll show you around the ballpark where we practice. I'll show you around the city a little bit. We'll go out and have lunch. And it's a great thing because you can have this guy, this star who is there, sell you on why it's okay to come sign with this team. And you know, not that Lindor is going to be out, you know, schmoozing with everybody, but it's what it is. When you have a star player, it increases the value of your franchise when it comes to how it's viewed by other players, by fans, by everybody.
Well, how about they were desperate and they overpaid because they were afraid of losing him and they needed the identity? How about that?
Well, they traded for him.
Sure, I spin it right back on you. Yeah. Desperation to compete with the Yankees and not look like a fool in your first year as the big swinging, look how much money I have owner. Don't look over here with what happened in the front office. Look over here. I paid this guy $34 million a year.
Let me stop, because you were doing well until you said one thing that's your downfall.
The big swinger?
No. that's what they called me when I would go out at night. Hey, look at that big swinger right there. No, you said because the Mets don't want to look foolish. You really think the Mets haven't looked foolish over the course of the past 25 to 30 years?
No, but that's the point. It's a new era, Smith. This is going to be the guy. And all he did was cut
time.
A – the guy said, I don't want to negotiate till tomorrow. Okay, fine. Give him his $34 million a year. How soft is that? By the way, it's a limited no-trade clause. He ain't finishing his 10 years there either. They're going to stink. They're going to fail. And then he's going to get dealt.
Oh, stop. We're going to win 5 World Series. He's going to say, I'm tired of winning. Let me go someplace else to help another downtrodden team win. And he goes to the Yankees to try to help them. I'm okay with that.
The downtrodden Yankees.
I'm kidding. The Mets are going to win so much. Yankees are going out of business, man. They may not be playing baseball in 5 years. He's going to put them completely out of business.
Yeah, I mean, you call them the best shortstop. What about Tim Anderson?
No.
What about Baez? What about Corey Seager?
Nope. No, no.
Just because he wore an Eddie Murphy jacket doesn't mean that he's really cool, the best.
Yeah, of course it is. Oh, well, come on.
He's 27.
You pull that out. That's a great jacket.
It's a good-looking jacket. I'm certainly not going to discount that.
Oh, look, listen, Lindor is like, it's everything that the Mets need. Did you pay a little bit more? Yeah. Was he a guy that would get a 10-year deal at the end of this year from some team for around $300 million? Yeah, probably. I mean, there wouldn't be that many teams to do it, but is that where he's at? Yeah, because look, teams know that now at this point, when you want a superstar, you got to pay about $300 million for him. You know, they want $30 million a year. These guys want 10-year deals. Now, would he have gotten over the top, the $385 or $400 million? No, he wasn't going to get that. But would he have gotten that from somebody else? Yeah. So did the
Mets
overpay?
Why he gets the $340 and why they negotiated that?
Why?
Because he's going to lose that $40 million in state taxes. And exorbitant New York City taxes.
Listen, I can't sign for this. But look, he's already helping the city. He's already helping the city. He's already given the city $40 million.
Oh, look at you.
Look at that.
No, that's a good spin. Look at I'm a good citizen.
He's giving back already.
No. He's got to find a bunch of write-offs. Start going to the bodegas like when you go and get your ice cream and you say, I need my receipt. That's what Lindor's got to do.
I'm going to the bodega for ice cream. That's where
what'd you do? I got a couple of sandwiches. Look, if you buy it for everybody in there, every time you go in, how many people are here? Six? All right, I need a receipt for everything that they got going on here. They could play games, man.
I'll tell you,
taxable base.
I thought the most excited thing I'd be excited for today was the fact that Knives Out 2 and 3 is going to come to Netflix soon. But no, now Lindor is like, you know, by far and away at the top of this. I mean, by
here's
far
a good one.
And away.
Wait, Dan in Maryland, quote, so the Mets are going to have a Bobby Bonilla Day and a Francisco Lindor Day?
Here's the difference, okay? Steve Cohen is looking around going, yeah, I can give this guy $340 million. Why can I do that? Because I'm worth $20 billion. I had this in a shoebox in my room. Hey, we're going to sign Lindor today. So he gets his assistant, comes in. Hey, Jack, come on in here. Yeah, what are we doing? We're signing Lindor tonight. So what does that mean? That means go into not my main office, but my second office, right? The one where the money is in the wall. Right. Okay. I need, I think, hang on, 1, 2, 3. That's the office where I have 500 shoeboxes full of money, right? Yeah, that's the one, Mr. Cohen. Right. All right. So I need about 4 of those shoeboxes to come out. 4? Yeah, it's a big deal. We have Lindor today. So wait, how many are in there? Oh, I don't know. Like there's like 100. So just get like 4 of those shoeboxes full of money and bring them out to me because I got to give it to Lindor when he shows up today. I mean,
and then it's like the end of matter. Ocean's 11. What happened to all those shoes?
That's what it's like for him spending this kind of money. Yeah, I got. Are you kidding? I got it. He's not one of those Jag owners worth a couple billion where it's, hey, I got to go in with like 1,000 different partners to own a team because, you know, I don't have the money. You know, I'm not A-Rod or Jennifer Lopez where, listen, I'm worth money, but not that money. I mean, I got to have 17 different partners. No, Steve Cohen says, I got the money for the Mets right here. I brought it here. Would you bring your checkbook? No, I got 2 shoeboxes. You know what? Hey, get me the big shoebox. I may need 1 big shoebox for the Mets. Here we go, and I'm going to go pay for it. And he makes all that money up in 3 months. Hey, that's what it's like when you have an owner like Steve Cohen that's made of money.
Well, that means he'll spend it terribly then, as many owners have. Arik, hey, quote, save this tape because on May 9th when Lindor's hitting 227 with 2 homers, 4 doubles, hitting 9 double plays and struck out 25 times, Smith will be burning his jersey and trying to trade him.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah. World Series, downtrodden team, Yankees, all of this stuff. You know, it's actually very funny.
He said, I'm not negotiating as of 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. And they said, here's another $40 million. Please stay with us.
Hey, Steve Cohen was probably playing Xbox or something. They go, Steve, hey, Lindor needs that money. He says, don't negotiate with it by 9 a.m. Oh, hang on. Hit pause on the game. Hit pause. What does he want? 340. Yeah, give it to him. You know what? Give him 341. Give him more than Tatis. All right, great. I'm going to go back to the game now. All right, great. All right, unpause the game. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to play. That's how it was. How do you think it was? I mean, this is real-life Bobby Axelrod you're talking about here. This is a deal-maker. That's who he is. He went to dinner with Lindor. Hey, I want $380 million. No, how about 340? Oh, okay, great. We meet right there. Boom. And now he's a Met, and now we're going to win the World Series. Now everything is awesome.
Are you going to start singing Everything is Awesome?
Everything is awesome. Oh, the peace de resistance. And TJ, the peace of resistance. Francisco Lindor, now a Met. forever. Let's find out what's trending now in the wide world of sports with Brian Fenley, who, let's see.
Yeah.
I wonder what he's going to lead off with. Brian Fenley, what do you got, my friend?
Yeah, did you guys hear about Francisco Lindor and this new 10-year extension, according to reports, that he signed with this team called the Mets?
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him. It's a 10-year deal. $341 million is the dollar figure. No opt-outs, and Lindor had forced New York to give him this new deal before tomorrow's opening day, or else he was contemplating free agency. And the dollar figure is also, as Jason Smith has talked about a lot, $1 million more than what the Padres cashed out for Fernando Tatis in that deal. Meantime, in the NBA, Andre Drummond having an unceremonious debut in a Laker uniform. He is currently being looked at in the Lakers locker room, where he was headed in that direction, signaling to his right foot. He also did not start the second half after starting the first. Montrezl Harrell was in his place to begin the second half. But Drummond's numbers so far, pedestrian at this point. 4 points, 2 of 6 from the floor. He has 3 turnovers and 4 personal fouls. And the Bucks. Oh, might I forget that Giannis Antetokounmpo dunked on him as well. The Bucks lead 71-56 over the Lakers, under 8 minutes to go in the third quarter. The Nets have first place in the Eastern Conference after they took down the Rockets 120-108. James Harden had to come out in the second half, did not return with some tightness in his right hamstring. Kyrie Irving, 31 points and 12 assists. The Mavericks cramped the Celtics 113-108. Luka Doncic, 36 points. Then there was the Knicks. They had it all together, a 12-point fourth quarter lead, and it started to slip away.
5 seconds left, down by one. R.J. Barrett with it, top of the key. Step back, 18-footer on the way. That's well short. This ball game is over. The Timberwolves rally from 18 down. They stun Tom Thibodeau's Knicks 102-101.
That one has to sting. That was the call from the Timberwolves radio
network.
No, I don't
really care. Francisco Lindor, $341 million.
My man, you
got to
know the room. It doesn't matter anymore.
It doesn't matter.
The Jazz winning against the Grizzlies 111-107. Mike Conley, 26 points, 13 of those coming in the fourth quarter. The Trailblazers devour the Pistons 124-101. Damian Lillard, 33 points, 10 assists. The Heat take down the Pacers 92-87. And finally, the Spurs denounce the Kings 120-106. DeMar DeRozan, 26 points. So, yeah, as I send it back to Mike Harmon and Jason Smith, the guy mentioned there was an 18-point lead that the Knicks could not sustain. And they were up by 12 with just a couple minutes left in the fourth quarter. And how did they find a way to let that go? It's the Knicks. Back to you.
I didn't really hear a word you just said. It doesn't matter.
Remind him how badly the Clippers lost yesterday to a subpar team?
Yeah, but they had a winning streak going. So you win most of those and you lose one. All right, nobody's perfect. But generally, the Clippers are on the up and up, and I think they're in a great spot towards the end of the season.
$341 million. Right, that's what
cash
matters. Francisco Lindor. That's it. That's what it is. Thanks a lot, BF. Appreciate it, buddy. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from our Francisco Lindor Studios, now the official sponsor
of
Fox Sports Radio. So we'll have more on this huge news. Look, we got another $340 million player in Major League Baseball. Plus, we got all our big 2021 MLB predictions we have coming up. Big news out of the Lakers locker room with Andre Drummond. Keep it right here. You are listening to Fox Sports Radio. Lindor! I'm gonna have a whole bunch of them! Chocolate, 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 chocolate.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
Yeah. We have more on the Fernando Tatis. We have more on the Francisco Lindor, because everybody's, well, let's compare the two guys. $341 million deal to the Mets. It is official. We'll have that coming up in 10 minutes. But up until this, right, the big story of the night was Andre Drummond's Lakers debut. Right, he's the guy that's going to save the Lakers, and right now they are getting boat raced by the Bucks late in the third quarter. Milwaukee is up by 15. Giannis has 18. Drew Holiday's got 22. What about Andre Drummond? Well, Drummond has played 14 minutes. He's got 4 points, couple assists, and a rebound. He has only played this number of minutes because he has left the court and changed sneakers twice. According to Dave McMenamin, this is his latest on Twitter about what is happening with Andre Drummond, NBA reporter for ESPN. He started the game in a pair of Air Jordan 11 IEs, and apparently there was something wrong with those sneakers. So he switched to a pair of LeBron 16 lows and then had to leave the game and take off the right sneaker. He had a big wrap on his right big toe. So now he's back in the locker room and he could be coming out with another pair of sneakers on, or maybe he's not going to play the rest of the night. I don't know, but I got to think, Mike Harmon, this is not a good night if you own sneaker NFTs. I think it's a bad night for you if that's the case.
Yeah, I don't think you want it getting out. Well, I think you just blame him, though, right? I mean, just claim their big baller brand.
Oh, no, you can't do that because they don't. Because he wouldn't have them by now. He still, and they have to wait another year and a half.
Maybe he got one
him.
Of the few pairs that actually existed. Look, the this is a bad PR, but also remember, most folks are not the size and working with the force of an Andre Drummond. So they're going to say it passes the normal human stress test. But as an NBA player, he's more powerful and moves quicker than you. And look what it does when you have that level of speed. So you aspire to these shoes because that is the breaking point. Greatness in an NBA game. How about that?
I mean, really, this is – look, you go from the debut of a guy that's going to help save the team. He's, you know, he was well sought after. And now he's had two bad pairs of sneakers on? Or really? And that's and I'm going to – I could come back out in a third pair of sneakers. I mean, there's times when I leave the house and I go, you know, not feeling it with these sneakers. I'm going to be walking a little bit. So I go back in and change. But that's usually it for me. You know, like I used to – like when I was younger, I used to love wearing Converse, the Chuck Taylors, right? But then my foot got wider and they stopped making them and they just hurt my foot. But I would go out sometimes wearing my Chucks going, blah, blah, blah. And I would say to Pam, where are we going? Well, we're going to go to the mall. Then we're going to go here. I go, ooh, that's a lot of walking. Yeah, Chucks are not made for that. Let me go change my sneakers. And I'll go put on something with a lot more padding in it because, you know, Chucks don't have padding. It's like, you know, you're walking barefoot.
I have a beautiful pair of Customs with my swollen dome designs on there.
Oh, nice. Let's get – well, listen, you don't have a big, fat, wide foot like I do. You know, I'm like Toad from the X-Men. You should see me be able to swim in the water. My goodness, could I? I'm like the Mariner from Waterworld. I could just go and go and go.
Wow, you got a Waterworld reference in.
But maybe
– Globally
I'm, you know,
made
but
a
maybe,
lot of money. Yeah.
But I'm only going to change sneakers once. I don't think I'm going to change sneakers two and
well,
three times.
Well, you're not
times.
Being paid a lot that. Of money to go for your walk or go out to eat with your wife.
Okay.
This guy's being paid to come back to work. He can't just say, hey, these shoes suck. I'm done for the night.
That's true.
I mean, I don't know what else he's got in his repertoire. I mean, how many different styles? Hey, anybody got a size? Insert size here. Laying in there at the bottom of their locker. I mean, right now he's raiding everybody's stuff. Who the hell knows what he's finding? Think about that. Why is my stuff all messed up? Drummond must have been messing around when his shoe blew out.
And now, look, this is not a Zion situation where he had a sneaker blowout.
Right.
That didn't happen. I want to let you know that. This is just where something was up with the fit of his sneakers, and he's got a wrap on his right big toe, and now we see if he comes back out and plays. Man, look, you're down 15. Do you really
no
want
point.
Drummond to come back out?
Nope.
I don't know. And now it's gonna. Now it's going to be some kind of great post-game press conference where, hey, can you tell us about your sneakers, Andre?
Huh? How's your toe?
Coming up next, more on Drummond and more on the biggest story of the hour. This is Fox Sports Radio.